merciful Savior, King eternal, immortal, invisible, who dwells in the light that's unapproachable. I thank you for loving me, caring for me, blessing our assembly to be able to come back and go into your word. Your word is where all the truth resides. Your word is where all of our protection is. We need you in every way. We don't have any power without you. We need you to look upon us, strengthen us with might in the inner man. Give us what we need so that we can please you, that we can exemplify you in the marketplace, to help us in our homes, where evil tries to come in and destroy that which you have set up, where it tries to divide, where he tries to conquer. Lord, I ask you to look upon us with mercy. Look upon us with pity. As a father pitieth his children, I ask you to pity us. I ask you, as we go through your word, that some way we'll be able to convey to others the importance of your word, what it stands for, who he stands for. Then, Lord, look upon all of our ailments. Look upon our hardships. Allow our hardships to mold us and make us what you would have us to be, that we would see you in the midst of them, and that we would conduct ourselves in such a way that you will be pleased with everything that we do. I ask these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and for his body's sake, which is his assembly of the believers. Amen. Amen, and even so. Amen. Tonight, as we go into our study, we're going right back to where we were, the 119th Psalm. And I've been enjoying these Psalms, and I'm hoping that other people are enjoying these Psalms as well. But one thing I have learned over the years is that people really don't love God's word. They love to go to church. They love to have an activity. When it comes down to God's word, it's thrown to the back burner. And yet, we'll have people continually saying, I love God. I love his word. Well, I'm going to tell you, according to the word of God, you can't love him if you can't and if you don't love his word. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Now, just because we read that in the Gospel of John, it doesn't mean that that was not the case before. His word was so important before. He told the people back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, that they were supposed to train their children. They were supposed to train their children about him when they rose up and when they sat down, and when they went by the way, so that they would know who he was. Well, tonight, as we go into this passage, we're going to look at the protection of God's word for those that are in danger of destruction. The protection of God's word for those that are in danger of destruction. We'll be going from verse 57 through 64. Those that are looking at a Bible, a printed Bible, or even if it's on your computer, you'll see that you'll see something that says C-H-E-T-H. It looks like it says chet. It's pronounced with that C-H like the C-H in Bach. So you're going to say chet. Some people will just pronounce it with the H, and that will be what it is. But the word picture here in the chet, or ches is that of offense. It's the picture of offense. In the, what is called Paleo Hebrew, sometimes it looks like a little comb turned sideways with about four teeth in it. And that's the sign that we have for the word ches or the letter. Notice in our English, it depends on your Bible, you'll have that letter all the way down from 57 through 64. If your Bible doesn't have it, don't be upset about it. I believe that these things not only were added for memory, but they help a person to look for and to see what's here. Again, I'm saying that the Word of God is given here for our protection from destruction. You know, you can find anything in this world that you want to give you protection. But how much more whenever it goes to the Word of God? Let's read our eight scriptures for tonight. Yes. Thou art my portion, O Yahweh. I have said that I would keep thy words. I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimony. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Yahweh, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. When we read these passages here, I've said it before, if you're one of those people that go through the Psalms and go, and you go to the next and you're happy, you missed out on a lot of what's here. Notice what he says, thou art my portion. Oh, Lord, with all caps, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. You are my portion, oh, Yahweh. I have said I would keep thy word. The word here, portion. That's where we get our word here that starts with ches, and that word is chelek. You are my portion. Even before we look at the word picture, I want you to understand something. There is something about this word that has the word picture in it of offense. But I want you to taste this word, the word portion or chelek. This is something that if you don't love the word of God, if you don't love God's magnificent protection from you, for you, you might say, I don't really need all of this word of God. I don't need, I got a daily devotion. I got my daily bread. I got my means that I use. I go to church. I don't need all of that, Tim. God must have had run off at the mouth. If we don't need all this Bible. This is what people act like. And God weighs action. We don't need all of that Bible. We don't need all of that scripture. All we need is to go to church and be saved. Since when did you get to relegate the Most High King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that dwells in the light, that's unapproachable, to all that he's interested in is saving you? Where do you get that from? That's not biblical. When the Lord God saved the children out of the land of Egypt, he did not save them just to save them. He saved them so that they would serve him. He stopped them from being the servants of Pharaoh to become the servants of God. Just like in Romans chapter 6 and 20. Romans 6 and 20 says, but now being made free from sin, you become the servants of God. and you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. The word here, thou art my portion. Let me go ahead and give you the word picture and take you where you need to be. The word picture here, you have the fence in chalek. You have the fence. You have the lamed, which is what we would call the letter L, which is used as a teaching or a goad. It teaches. And then you have the kuf, which is the what we would call the letter Q. And you have the fence. And you have teaching, and you have the head. Your protection, your fence, your protection is being taught, and you're getting in your head the word of God. That's your protection. That's your protect you. There's sometimes you'll see the things where God talk about keeping your mouth, your teeth are just like a fence that keep your mouth from causing you to be destroyed. But let's look at it without the word picture. In the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 20, you're going to see something that's beautiful. And when I look at this, I remember reading the book of Numbers and Leviticus when I was younger. And I noticed when the Lord would give everybody a portion, everybody got a portion except the Levites. So let's listen to it together. For those that have read it, it should be a good review. And for those that haven't, think about this. The Bible says, Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, and Yahweh, the Lord, spake unto Aharon, or Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land. Tim, read the verse above. No, I'm not. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. Listen to this. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all of the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they served, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Again, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Let's go back to our text, verse 57. Thou art my portion. You are my fence. You are my teacher. You are the one that I want to fill my head with. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Listen what he says. I have said I will keep your word. We don't want God seemingly anymore for our portion. We don't want him for our inheritance. We want bigger cars. We want a more beautiful body. We want to be accepted by the ungodly in the political realm. We want to be accepted by those who hate God. We want to be accepted by the people that are considered to be cool, that are considered to be hip, that are seemingly progressive. We think that the word of God is outdated, antiquated, and it's not for us today. But this writer, he says, thou art my portion, O Lord. He has put himself in the mindset of those that were called the Levites, that he wanted that portion. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. You know, I'm going to give it to you, but I will go back and give you 32 and 8, because that's one of the scriptures I always want anyone that I'm teaching to remember. Deuteronomy 32 and 8 is one of the most powerful, as sometimes people say, pivotal, P-I-V-O-T-A-L, pivotal scriptures in the Bible. But in Deuteronomy 32 and 9, it says, for Yahweh, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now, Tim, why did you read that? What does that have to do with anything? I need you to understand that if Yahweh is telling you that he is your inheritance and you are his inheritance, the symbiosis that takes place here is that he is to be your all in all. Everything that you do should be to him and through him and for him. He should be your focus. But because you are his inheritance, you will be his focus. Now let's look at the word that I was telling you, the scripture in verse 38 and 32, verse 8. I said it backwards. It says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when Elyon, the Most High, divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I've told you all many times before, if you read in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you will see that he said he separated them according to the B'nai Ha, sons, Ha, the sons, B'nai Ha, Ha, he says it backwards for us in English, of Israel. He did it not to the sons of Israel, though. He did it to the sons of God. So it's a B'nai Ha Elohim. He did according to the sons of God. And if you look at the Septuagint version, some call it Septuagint, if you look at that same verse, it'll say he did it according to the angels of God. Angels of God in their pure sense are Elohim. Not God, but they live in another dimension. Any individual can be an angel. I can be an angel. She can be an angel. Anybody, as long as they are a messenger. The word Malach means what we call angel. When the Most High separated the nations, he did according to the sons of God. And what this is dealing with is on a higher spiritual dimension, that when God has separated the nations, and you see it in Genesis chapter 10, you'll see all of these begats, the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and you'll see their nations. If you add them all together, when they're scattered in chapter 11, when you see them scattered, it's going to equal 70. And so it's referring back to that. When he separated the nations, he did according to the sons of God. Different territorial angels or different territorial celestial beings had the control over them. That's why you can see in the book of Daniel, there's a prince of Persia. You'll see Michael, the archangel, that he is over the children of Israel. Andrina, I need you to bring Tim some water. I forgot to get some. Take your time. It's not a rush. I just can tell I'm going to need it. So when he separated them, he did it according to the sons of Israel. Why is this important? It's because God took one man, Abram, and he made out of Abram a nation, and he is saying, that's my portion. This is how special you are. So when this man in our text is saying, thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I'd keep your word. I'm putting myself in the same line as the people that God had chosen. Remember, God didn't have a nation. He made Abram a nation. Read your Bible. He made Abram a nation, and that's why whenever you would see them go through and make sacrifices, they would make them for other nations. In Deuteronomy 12 and 12, we're getting ready to move on. The Bible talks about when they rejoice. In Deuteronomy 12 and 12, he's talking to the nation after the first group died in the wilderness because they would not obey God. According to Hebrews chapter 3 in the last verse, they didn't stay in unbelief, and they provoked the Lord, and they died in the provocation, and they couldn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. But while Moses was instructing their children, he says, you shall rejoice before Yahweh your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite which is in your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Thank you, Andrew. Notice this. By them being Yah, God's portion, the people are not to forget you. I'm making sure not only what I do from heaven, but I'm making them look upon you. And because you are special, you are my portion. I am your portion. And because you are my portion, I can instruct everybody how to treat you. That was Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 12. We have one more we're going to look at on the portion, the Chelek. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 27. Again, and the Levite that is within your gates thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. For those that don't know the scriptures and don't understand the scriptures, what that means is everybody else got physical stuff. They got land. They got property. They got some land going down toward the Negev. They got land going up above where you have Jerusalem. All the way what we're talking about is Ephraim. You have Manasseh has a portion. You have all of the tribes have a portion of land. But the Levites were elevated because they had Yah, God, as their portion. So when you would bring your sacrifices in, a part of the sacrifices belonged to the Levites. When you lived out in the land, the Levites were to be taken care of. They walked by faith, but their job was to keep God's word and teach. Their job was to do judgment, to inspect your offerings when you brought them in, because your offerings had to be judged. You know, when people say you're not supposed to judge, you're not supposed to judge me, that's a damnable lie, because your animal sacrifices represented you. So you couldn't be bringing in a sheep that had the mange, or a sheep that had a broken leg, and you're offering that as a sacrifice. That's supposed to represent you. So they look at the animal and make sure it didn't have spot. It didn't have blemish. It wasn't too old. And when that animal was put to death, that was substitutionary, you being put to death. And they would do what was supposed to be, and they'd lay it up on the altar the way it was supposed to be. The blood would be pouring out, but a portion would go to the priest. And so what this writer is saying here, he's looking and showing us that I understand it's not just the Levites, but it's those that know how to love God. It says, thou art my portion, O Lord. Has Christ become your portion yet? Has the Messiah become your hope of glory yet? Have you learned to feast on his word? Is he who you look for your inheritance? Or are you still looking for things? Are you still laying up your treasures where the moths can get to? Where the thieves can break through and steal? Where the rust can corrupt? I'm telling you now, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, that's what the Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 5, 20 and following. Matthew 5, 20 and following. But this writer says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said, I will keep thy words. What he means by this is, you are my portion. And in order for me to value my portion, in order for me to keep you as my portion, I must keep your word. They are synonymous. Keeping your word is keeping my portion. Keeping your word is keeping my inheritance. I did that because I just got a happy inspiration in my feeling, in my spirit. Not that I just got revealed something new. I already knew this. But I want you to understand, this is what people will take from you. They want to take your inheritance. They want to take your portion. They want to give you Darwinism. They want to give you socialism. They want to give you Marxism. They want to give you free sex. They want to give you drugs, rock and roll, danger. They want to teach you how to hate. I'm telling you, this writer says, here is my protection. Here is my portion. My portion is Yahweh. You don't have to like me saying it, but I know the whole way the scripture bears out what I'm saying. So he says, Het, thou art my portion, O Yahweh. I have said, I will keep thy word. Never let no one steal God's word from you. Don't let your danger, don't let fear, it's your protection. It's your protection from the destruction that would destroy you. Verse number 58 says, I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. You want to say, well, where's the head word, Tim? Entreated. Entreated. The word here, it's a beautiful word. You could pronounce it helity, but the root is going to give you the heck. That same letter that I've talked about before, and it's going to give you the alignment that teaches, and it's going to give you that same, it's going to give you now the one that opens up. Remember when we did the hay? Like that same word is in hene, which means to behold. So notice, you got protection, you got teaching that's exposed. I will open up myself to your teaching. I'm going to open myself up to your teaching, Lord, for my protection. Look, I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Now, remember, I've said before, even Dr. Frank Seekins, who I learned some of this stuff from, and I went and checked up behind him to see if he was lying to me when I was reading his book, and he wasn't. You don't let the word pictures override the scriptures. If what you see does not fit with the scripture, you're not seeing it correctly. But someone say, Tim, you're not seeing it correctly. First of all, prove me wrong. Number two, the scripture I'm giving you is going to be the butt-naked word of God without chaser. I'm not going to dress it up for you. So look at it. I have entreated for your favor with my whole heart. That word favor, I don't understand why it's translated favor. The Hebrew word here is pene. Faith. There you go, baby girl. It's faith. I have entreated your faith with my whole heart. I've seen a dog do that to me before. Be somewhere at a restaurant. I think I've seen it more when I was younger. And there were dogs around and you're eating a burger. And the dog will do this. Yeah. Then he'll do this. And then sometimes he'll get down low and then he'll do like this. Looking at your face. The writer says, I have entreated. I'm looking for your protection. I'm open to your teaching to protect me with my whole heart. Then he says, be merciful to me according to your word. Let's look at something. Let's look at a good illustration of that. Would you like a good illustration of that? If you don't, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. There was a man named Asa. Asa was having problems. Asa was a king. And maybe, you know, and he may still be a king. What do you mean, Tim? Well, he's still alive. He's not ruling, but he may still have that title. Because, you know, to God all men live. But listen, I'm going to read kind of quickly. He's having a problem with Israel, and he's going to go to Ben-Hadad and get some help. Listen to what the Bible says. In the 36th year of the reign of King Asa, but Asa, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah. Yes, precious. I'm at 2 Chronicles 16:1. I didn't tell you where I was. What kind of person am I tonight? You going to forgive me?
Yes, sir.
You promise? All right, I'm going to keep you there. Okay, 2 Chronicles 16:1. We're really going to focus in on verse 9, but I'm giving some background to see what it's like to entreat, to look to God's face with your whole heart. So it says, in the 16th and 30th year of the reign of King Asa, but Asa, king of Israel, came up against Judah to build Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go in. Listen, that he might not let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. That's the same thing that our governments and other governments do today when they call sanctions. But if you don't read the Bible well and you don't understand what's going on in your world, you won't know that the king of Israel had put sanctions and really in some way put a siege against the king of Judah. Asa had been a righteous king, okay? And it says, and Asa brought out the gold and silver and the treasures of the house of Yahweh and of the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that they were not supposed to make treaties with other nations like that.
Right.
So he's taking the gold and silver and giving it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, or what we call the Arameans. All right. So it says, and he sent it to him, and he dwelt in Damascus and says, there's a league between me and you, or me and thee, as there were between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And you'll see nations now, Israel will want some money, Saudi may want some money. We may want some money from them. We may want some money from China. Iraq wants some money. They send money to Iraq. They'll send money to Afghanistan. You see nations sending money, making leagues like the UN or the what they would call the League of Nations. You'll see nations doing things together. Here is a picture of a nation doing things, but this is supposed to be a godly king, and now he needs protection from destruction. But he's not entreating the Lord. He's entreating another king, Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad is representation or representative of Hadad, a god, because the king would represent their god. And so now I'm entreating you, and vicariously, whether I think about it or not, I'm actually entreating that god. Now, you may want to adjust the volume on this. I turned it around where you could see it. And so, look at what the Bible says. And Ben-Hadad hearkened to King Asa and sent captain of his armies against the cities of Israel and Nasmo, Ijon, and Dan, Abel, Miam, and the cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. So it seems as if it worked. I've already got me somebody to help me. I use my money. I use whatever I had to entreat to get rid of this king that is bothering me. Now, listen to this. This is very important. Verse 6. And Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, which Baasha was building, and he built Geba and Mizpah. Everything that you were building up to besiege us and to do war and to harm us, we're going to take that and use it to build something. It looks like they've been victorious. It looks like seeking and entreating Ben-Hadad was working. Instead of using the word of God for my portion, instead of letting God be my protection through his word, I realize I got friends, I got allies, I got money, I got something else. Why should I have to depend on God? Oh, that's the same thing that we do today, but the day is going to come when we're going to stand before God and the books are going to be open and another book will be opened, which is the book of life, and the dead will be judged according to the things which are written in the book, and the sea will give up the dead that's in it, and death and Hades or hell will give up the dead that are in it, and whoever name is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet will already be. Yes, yes, yes. That's Revelation chapter 20, starting around the 10th and the 12th verse, if you want to write it down. Now, it says, verse 6, Asa took all that stuff and carried it back. But listen to verse 7. And at that time came Hanani. It says, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on Yahweh thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Wait a minute. You had the opportunity to rule over the nation that you paid to help you, but because you didn't rely on Yahweh when it looked big, when it looked bad, when the destruction came, you didn't look to him for protection. And what you got some, what you got some timber, and you got some stones to build up Mizpah and Geba. You could have not only had victory against Baasha, you could have had Syria or the Arameans for your people. You could have had them, but because you relied on them and not the Lord, therefore the host of the king of Syria is escaped out of your hands. So listen to this. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a large or a huge host or armies, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on Yahweh, he delivered them into your hand. You have a history. See, that's one of the things that people don't understand, that they can turn away from the Most High. They can get victory one time, and the next time they think this is too much for the Lord, or the Lord can't do this, or I've been to the Lord this many times, or this one is little. Yeah, I'm not going to go through it. But you remember when they went to Ai? I believe it is in Judges. I mean, in the book of Joshua. I got it at the same time with you. In Joshua, they said, Ai is a little city. We'll go capture it. But they didn't realize Achan was wicked. Well, it says, here's our verse, for the eyes. Where are eyes located? In your face. The eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him, whose heart is perfect or entire or whole towards him. Herein hast thou done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. But if we go back and look at our passage, this man says, I have been treated with favor. I have been treated your faith with my entire heart, with my perfect heart, with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. Listen to me. I don't care if you're black and your daddy has been a slave like mine was, according to what slavery is, not according to what the word they changed it to. I don't care if you realize that your government has set up and paid Planned Parenthood to kill your offspring, black people. I don't care if in your school they taught you that you came from monkeys and you didn't fully evolve. I don't care. Who are you relying on? Are you relying on social activist groups that will take God's portion from you and you won't call on him? Have you found somebody that's wicked and say, let me give you some money, let me help your campaign? And not trusted in him. America, 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 the beautiful as it's called. America. Are you still going to be under the hand of the judgment of God because you haven't treated your black children well? Have you done what God says when it comes to when you mistreat, when you rob, when you rape, when you kill, when you were Baptist ministers, Baptist pastors, Presbyterian members, ministers and pastors, and Catholic ministers and pastors? Yes, many of you all practice slavery because you said God's law does not apply to you. But I'm here to tell you, Romans 8:4 says the righteousness of God's law is supposed to be fulfilled in those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Then you want to have peace. And instead of relying on Yahweh's word, you want a UN. You want to go to the UN. You want a Democrat. You want a Republican. You want an independent. You want to just act like it doesn't happen. So you want to hide your eyes from those that you've done wrong. And then those that have done wrong, they don't want to go to God. And you both will be under the judgment of the Almighty God. But this writer here, he says, I've been treated your face with my whole heart. You got a job where you have problems? Who are you seeking? EEOC? You've been mistreated with the death in your family that shouldn't have been? Who are you going to entreat? What you going to do? You got somebody that's beating the wife or the children or mistreated. Who are you going to entreat? This writer. This writer, and I showed you a passage that shows that one time Asa had done well. He had a history. Do we feel that God cannot still do for us? Because you have a lot of people say that that's pie in the sky. No, God doesn't tell us that he's just going to do stuff and all you do is pray. He gives us actions, but if you don't know the Bible, you don't know what to do. So he said, I've been treated thy favor with my whole heart. I think I want to read something else for you all because I just want to be gracious. What's the rest of that story about Asa? You know some more after that. When this man told him, you didn't seek God with your whole heart like you did the first time. So he said, you've been foolish. You've been a fool. You played the fool. And said, you'll henceforth have war. But listen to what Asa did in verse 10. Then Asa was wroth, that means angry, upset, with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, from first to last, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? And Asa was in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, and was diseased in his feet, until the disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not Yahweh, but to the physician again he didn't entreat the Lord's face. And he slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. Now, when we talk about disease in the feet, the Hebrew word here, it, you know, because when I first started reading the word feet, I didn't understand the word regel. Sometimes it means feet, sometimes it means legs, and it can be a genital region. I'm just not sure which one it is, but it says he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the Rapha. We'll have to talk about that when we start talking about spiritual entities. I know most books say, they say physicians, but there is the Raphaim is what the manuscripts say, and the Raphaim are spiritual beings. These are things that you're dealing with when you're dealing with divination. But a lot of people, they won't know that, or they won't teach it because it's not popular. I don't really care. Like, go look it up, see that I lie. Because you have people say don't go to the doctor because of that. Because of the English translation. And I've known a man that taught that, and I know a woman that didn't want to go to the doctor because the Bible said Asa went to the physician, and that's why he died. But that's an English word. The Raphaim is different. Now let's go back to our text. So I entreated, I looked upon your face with favor with my whole heart for my protection. I looked for it. I was open to your teaching. So he says, be merciful to me according to your word. And that word, be merciful, that word is what we call chen. That's the protection with life. You see, you got the same thing that chet, and you got the n, or what we call the noon. That's the same thing. So that little noon means life. That's the word picture. So be merciful. Give me life. Where? According to your word. He's my portion. He's my protection. He's my life. He's the one I rely on when things happen. I like these Psalms. Listen to verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. And we got the word again. We got another Hebrew word here. We would call it hish or hesheb. You got the fence. Now you got fire in the house. Okay? Because the word bet, the letter bet, represents the house. So what do you have here? I thought on my ways and turned my feet to your house. I turned my feet unto your testimonies. I've looked, my protection, my fire, my house, the thing that I have as a weapon, the very thing that I have to protect me, because I'm not always going to be on the defensive. I'm sometimes on the offensive. The very thing that I have protection for me is your ways. I'm going to aggressively go after your ways, O Lord. That's why when you look at Psalm 1, blessed is the man that does what? And walk not after what? The counsel of what? Walk not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sin. That's actively fighting against this world. Do you understand? To walk after God's counsel is a hedge of protection around you. It's your fire to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He says, look, I thought on my ways and turned my feet to your testimony, to your witness.
Which word is testimony?
No. Thought. Oh. I thought. Just a very thought. See, when I was thinking about that, I the scripture that came to my mind, and I didn't write it down, I typed it down, but it's the 19th chapter of Psalm, verse 14, where the writer says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of mine heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Yahweh, my what? My strength and wealth and my redeemer. I thought on my way, and I turned my feet according to your testimonies. I know what you did to Pharaoh. I know what you did to Pharaoh's army. I know what you did to the Ethiopians for Asa. I know what you did for Barak. I know what you did to Achan. Huh? Yes, I know what you did to Achan. I know what you did to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I know what you say should happen if somebody steal a man, he should be put to death. I know what you say should happen if somebody steals something, they be paid back. I know what you say your reward is for the wicked, your reward is for the righteous. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet. It's one thing to know God's word and then look and you think on your ways and realize I'm not going right. I've been sucked into my society. I've been sucked into my culture. I've been sucked into watching things on TV and letting them give me my morality. I've allowed the schools to teach my children ungodliness, and they come in and trying to rule the home. I've noted, I realize that a lot of times in the churches, they make it, it's an ungodly word to say you must obey God. What did I say? They make it as if it's an ungodly thing. I talked to a man today, and I told that man when I was at his house doing some work, I said, if your children were to come home and say, you have unconditional love for me, Daddy, so I'm still going to use your toilet paper, I'm going to eat your food, I'm going to drive your cars and do what I want to because you have unconditional love and you are my daddy and there's nothing you can do about it, how would you feel? And he gave me that look because he's got a background from another country. Well, I say, this is what we teach in churches. We teach that you don't have to obey God. They say, you don't obey God for salvation. You just obey him because you love him. How is that working for us? How is that working for the little boys in the Catholic Church? How is that working for the sisters in the church that have been pregnant by the pastors? How is that working for the women that are abused in churches right now physically? How is that working for the old people that got their property and their money and their life savings stolen in the church? I submit to you that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, says he is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. And if you don't like what I said, there's only one other place that word morphologically with the same tense, with the same background, with the exact same meaning is used. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, where it says the Lord is coming in flaming fire on them that obey not God. Same obey. What do you mean the same obey? The one that he give eternal salvation is the one that do. And the same, when you don't know what morphology is the word obey could be a noun, it could be a verb, it could be whatever it is. I'm saying everything lines up. Only two places it is like that in the Bible. But Tim, that's legalistic. Well, answer me this. Is God the judge of all the earth? Yes. Is that a legal term? Yes, judge. Is the Lord Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach, is he an advocate? Yes. Is that a legal position? Yes. Do we have an accuser, HaSatan, the Satan? Yes. Is that a legal term? Yes. Does God have commandments? Yes. Do we have laws? Wait a minute. I was told we didn't. Then you don't read your Bible. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, Jacob said, Israel said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver until Shiloh come, and unto him will be the gathering together of the people. What does Galatians 6:2 say? It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tell you? was as a Jew, to them with the law, I was like with law, and to them without law, I was as if I was without law, but not without the law of Christ. I would submit to you that the Bible says that when we read the scripture, we're not under the Aaronic priesthood. The priesthood had to be changed. It was changed to the order of Melchizedek. I will also say to you that the Bible said God was going to write his laws in our hearts and in our minds, and we all would know him. We would obey him, and I would submit to you that the lawgiver is Christ, not Aaron, not Moses. That had to vanish away with. That was a schoolmaster to bring us to our lawgiver Christ, so that not only could sins be covered, they could be remitted. But the Bible says, and I'm quoting you from Hebrews, that he's the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto your testimonies, what you say about your life, what you say about what is right, what you have done before. They are my witnesses, Lord. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. This man said, I made haste. The word here, you have hush. You have the het again, and then you have the noon, which is going to be for life, and then you have the fire. And the beautiful thing about that is that when you see it, this is so beautiful. You got the fence, you got the life, and in another way, you got the fire again. What do you mean? You're still on the offense. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. What meaneth that, Tim? Listen, can we look at an illustration? That the word haste, I'm sorry, precious love. Haste, but I want you to check this out. He says, I made haste. Let me show you how this is your protection. Let me show you how this is your fence. Let me show you how this keeps you from destruction by making haste. Let's look at an illustration. Write down Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 through 30. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 through 30. The Bible says, how long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words known unto you, or I will make known my words unto you. Listen to 24, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it naught at all of my counsel and with none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Listen to this. They will seek me early, but they will not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. Listen to this one. They would none of my counsel and despise all of my reproof. The reason that this man can say, I made haste, and this is his protection, is because of the fact he didn't delay. These people in Proverbs, they sat in all of my counsel. They would not change. They despise my reproof. They despise it. Therefore, 31 says, they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You think when the fools get rich, you think when fools have a reality show, you think when they sing audio porn, you think when they get their margin and they standing up priding something against God, and because they got a lot of money, or because they can go Africans in Africa because you got the money to do it and cause all kind of heartache and damage in Africa. And because you can go in and rape the lands in Africa and do the same thing to the Aborigines, or you can go and take these people that are old and make things so prohibitively high for them that they can't afford their medicine. You think that because you have listened to God and you got prosperity, you're wise. But the Bible says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They were none of my counsel. They wouldn't listen to my advice. They despised when I would correct them through my word or through someone that knew my word. You will therefore eat of your devices. Boy, and if I were to go through Romans chapter 1 and let you see how bad it is, it would blow your mind if you could really see the picture of how wicked it is. But it says, I made haste, and I delayed not. That was my defense. Defense from what, Tim? I don't get the picture. I don't see how that's defense. I don't see there's a fence up there protecting me. I don't see how there's a life in that, Tim. I don't see the word picture that you gave me, that there's a fence and there is life and there is fire. Listen to what you're being defended from in destruction, okay? You said that none of all of my counsel, you were none of my reproof. I'm laughing at your calamity. One, I'm mocking when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, being taken, everything you have being desolate. Your destruction comes as a whirlwind, and distress and anger come upon you. Do you understand? I did not delay. Because sometimes people are like, I want one more time to have sex with this woman, or one more time to have sex with this man, or I want one more time to do something to this person. I want one more time to do this one wicked thing and maybe steal something else. I want one more time, and one more time keep coming. Or I just don't want to do it right now. I want to wait till the summer's over before I get right with the Lord. I delay, I delay, I delay. This man said, my defense, I made haste and delayed not to keep your Torah. When you, I didn't. This is miswah, but it's all under the instruction, your commandments that you gave me. And then verse 61 says, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me." This word would be pronounced hebel. When I said bands, I'm sorry. See, I'm looking. And if you have to correct me one more time, I'm going to think I'm a slow learner. The bands. In the next one, it will be midnight. Don't try to get ahead of the game. The bands, which is rope. The bands, the word here is hebel. Is, you got the picture here of the strength of, it's really weird the way that this picture is, because when you look at it and you see what's going on, you got the fence, you got the house, and you got the teaching. And so what you end up seeing is the fence of the house is by teaching. And it goes back, so many times it goes back to the house, it goes back to teaching, because that's what the lament is going to represent, being taught or being guided like the shepherd's crook. But it says the bands of the wicked, they want to teach me. They want to teach me. They have robbed me. But I have not forgotten your law. You see, the bands of the wicked, the teaching of the wicked, the rope of the wicked tell me that I can kill my baby in the womb. I can kill it after it comes out in certain places. I can shack, I can homosexuate, adulterate, and fornicate, prevaricate, and insinuate that I'm something that I'm not. And it's okay. We call it spin. And that's the teaching of this world. The teaching of this world that you don't need to look to the face of God. Do you have money? Do you have friends? Are you networking? This man says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Don't let somebody rob you of your inheritance. Don't go listen to their teaching. That's what happened to Asa. Asa decided, I'm going to let Ben-Hadad be my fence. I'm going to let Ben-Hadad be my protector. I'm going to go and work it out with him. I'm going to rely on him. But Hananiah the seer said, boy, you played the fool. Now you have lost it all. The money you spent, you lost being able to be over them, and you lost the war, and you're going to continually have wars. Then you locked up Hananiah the seer. But you died. You died. Now, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. The counsel of the ungodly will rob you. What we watch on TV will rob you. People that tell you that you don't have to obey God, they will rob you. Do you understand that the Bible says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Do you want to tell me you want to walk around with a dead faith and you think you're good? Let me tell you something. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells you, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge. He tells you to add kindness. Faith, knowledge, God, virtue, brotherly kindness, charity. Then he tell you to add patience and to add temperance. But the point that I wanted to get to, he says, if these things be in you and abound, it'll make it where you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of God. I will submit to you that Peter was there when Jesus taught in John chapter 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. He said, takes it out in me and gather them and burn them. I submit to you, when people rob you from wanting to please the Most High God and to obey the Most High God, they're teaching you rebellion. You can tell me you got faith all day long, and I say, what have you done more than the demons? They believe and they tremble. Well, Tim, read the next. It said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten your Torah. They robbed me. They did everything to take away from me my inheritance through your word. But guess what? I didn't forget your instruction. Verse 62, at midnight. Midnight is the word that has the chet in it, okay? And the word here is going to be like chasat. So in the middle of the night, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I don't think I've done that before. I've gotten up and prayed. I've laid in the bed and prayed. But he says, at midnight, in the middle of the night, I'll get up and give thanks to thee because of thy righteous judgment. You think about God's righteous judgment, what he said should be. Whereas if somebody steals, you say, well, just forgive them. No, God said, pay back double. You think it's okay. Like, for instance, God's judgment is if a person doesn't repent, he can't be saved if he's wicked. Am I correct? If a person does not repent, if a person does not have faith in the Lord Jesus or Yeshua, his son, he can't be saved, right? But yet we'll have people say, God has unconditional love. Is it a condition to repent? Yes. Is it a condition to have faith? Yes. Where you get this unconditional from? It's not taught in the Bible. You got to erase Revelation 21 and 8 where it says the fearful, the unbelieving, the murderers, the abominable, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you want to tell me God hates the sin and loves the sinner, why is he not putting adultery in hell? Why is he not putting fornication in hell? Why is he not putting sorcery in hell? Why is it people? There are conditions. If God is your inheritance and he's your inheritance and you're his inheritance, he demands stuff from us. We don't want to give it because we're wicked often. But you have the fence here. The beautiful thing about the fence that God has, and you have the hook. That's what the side is when you get that side. It's a side. We'll get to that later on. Then you have life and it's good. So you have the protection. You writing it down? You have the protection that's hooked to life that's good. Noon. Huh? Noon. Yeah, noon represents life. It was like a little fish. It represented life. So I got in the midnight, in the middle of the night, my protection that's hooked to life, guess what? It's good. So I rise up to give you thanks. How do I know it's good? The last letter is Tov. We call it Tov, Tau, Tov. It's good. It's good. I will rise to give you thanks because of your righteous judgment. I love God's righteous judgment. I wish we lived by God's righteous judgment. Now, someone would say, well, Tim, you've been put to death if we live by God's righteous judgment. That's right. But as a caveat, I might not have done the things that I did that was worthy of death if I had seen God's judgment being enacted in the land on the wicked and the ungodly. Let's go to the last two. Are you getting tired yet?
Good.
I am a companion. The word companion is your word. It's got the cat in it. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a heber. Again, the fence. Got the house. And then you have on this one the front of the head or just the head. I'm protected in my house by the head. What is in my head? What is in my head? The rush represents sometimes first. It represents head. I am a companion. This is where my strength is. My companionship, the very thing that protects me and my house and my head. Look, I'm a companion of those that fear you. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not standing in the way of sinners. I'm walking with those that delight in your law, that meditate in your law day and night, that are like trees planted up there by the rivers of water. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep your precepts. Listen, most times people don't want to be with you if you talk God's word. Tim, just answer me without God's word. Why? You can get that anywhere. Your protection from destruction, not only is God's word, but you see this, it's also being a companion of them that are like-minded, that fear him, not just reverence. God never talked about just reverencing him. Moses says, I exceedingly fear and quake. The writer of Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. The writer of Hebrews says that if these people in chapter 2 suffered consequences by angels in every transgression and sin, it was recompensed. How much more then should it be thought him worthy that have trodden underfoot the Son of God and done, listen, despite the spirit of grace? Oh, I wish we knew the word of God. I'm a companion of them that fear thee and them that keep your precepts. What do you mean? That look piece by piece, the pick of them, the piece by piece to keep your word. And the last one, don't be sad, you all. The earth, the ha, the, it says, the earth is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. When he says the earth is full of thy mercy, sometimes we don't realize how much mercy God has in this earth. We think that sometimes is everything is like, okay, it's just going. That's a good word, automatic. It's not automatic. It's his mercy. The word here is mercy. Chesed. Chesed. They call that God's loyal love. And you have, which is really beautiful on this. Do you remember anything about the psalmic? It's what they use for the S. And it is supposed to be that what wraps around. That's what the psalmic is. It surrounds something. Well, imagine the fence surrounded by the door, okay? So now you got the fence surrounded by the door. Either what comes in is what you allow to come in for protection or what you're kicking out, okay? Mm-hmm. So it says here, the earth, O Yahweh, is full of your chesed. Your mercy can come. Your mercy can go. Listen to what he's asking for. Teach me your statutes. First, if you notice, I'm a companion of them that fear you and keep your precepts. Now he says the earth is full of your chesed, which is talking about the surrounding of his protection, but you got a door there. But guess what he asks to do when you see where he's going? Teach me your statutes. Some people will never open the door for God to teach him his statutes. They will never do it. Talk to some people about God, and their faces do like this. You talk to church people about God, they don't want to hear it. You start talking about the statutes of God and what he has to say. Well, what do you say? I say, what God has said. I like what the Reformed brothers say on this one. Think God's thoughts after him. He says, the earth, O Yahweh, is full of your mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Let your statutes, let your mercy come into me through your statutes, and let your mercy stay with me because I repeat your statutes. Because if I go out and I start going away from your statutes, something else is coming inside of me and I'm not looking to your face. Now, without the Hebrew words, let's take 2 minutes and go back over what we looked at. Verse 57 through 64. Yahweh's, God's protection from destruction. I entreated with favor of my whole heart, be merciful to me. Lord, I'm looking to your face with all of my heart completely for you to show mercy to me according to your word. Your word is stable. I trust it. I thought on my ways. I thought on my Derek. I thought on my ways. And I turned to your testimony, to your witnesses of what's truth, what's life, how I should conduct myself. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. I determined in my mind that whenever you say something and I understand it, I'm going to move with it right then. I'm not going to delay. I want to keep your commandments. That's where my strength is. That's where my protection is. Then he says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten your law. I live in a world where everything is always trying to take your word from me, move me from your precepts, move me from your statutes, move me from your testimonies. But guess what, Lord? Lord, I have not forgotten your law. I know what they're trying to do, but I have not forgotten your law. What is this law? Your instruction, your Torah. At midnight, in the middle of the night, I get up and I give thanks to you, Lord, because your judgments are right. You've taught me how to think. You did not go out and teach me to say I'm not supposed to judge. I look at your judgments and I state what you said. Therefore, I don't have to pretend to be neutral. I don't have to go along with the flow. I can trust you. I keep your judgments. I'm a companion of them that fear thee so that I may keep your commandments. It says, I'm a companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep your precepts. I do that so that I will commune and that I will fellowship with them that love you, because we got something in common. We can speak the same language. They're not people that would rob me of what I need to have with you. They're the very people that seek your face. We seek your face together. And then he says, the earth is full of your mercy. Why? Because you didn't have to give your word. You could have just let the heavens declare your glory. You could have just let the firmament show your handiwork. You could have just let the invisible things of you be shown by the visible things, but it would not teach me what it takes to be saved. It would not teach me your judgments. It would not teach me your precepts. It would not teach me your testimonies. It would not teach me your commandments. It would not show me your ways. Therefore, Lord God of heaven, the earth is full of your mercies, how you take care of things, but then your word has been revealed to all of us so that we know how to get along with each other, how to get along with you, how to go against the evil beings that will move us from you, how to treat the animals, how to deal with all of these issues in life. Why? Because you have given the protection that we need to stay away and to be kept from destruction. That's what this song is saying and much more. But that's what I brought out in it. And I pray to God that we would look and we would determine, I want his commandments. I want them. I want his ways. I want his word. I want his testimonies, things that he has said about what is what. I want to be controlled by him. I want to keep his teaching and his instruction. I want to stay and know his judgments. I want to go piece by piece with his precepts, and I want to know his statutes that are engraved that never changes. Thanks, if we do these things, we start getting into maturity. We'll start moving into maturity. We should be able to have dominion. We can help our school systems. We can help our churches, our neighborhoods, our families. But if we don't have the protection we need, we'll be just like Asa going to Ben-Hadad, spending our money, getting some results, but in the end, God's not pleased. Father, I thank you for your mercy and your kindness, your love and your tenderness. I thank you for showing us, and that the writer put it down in such a way where he would write it in picture form that they would know what to look for in these passages. Help us, I pray, Lord, that we would be grace and in your knowledge and be pleasing to you. We need this. We need your strength. We need your protection. Help us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen.